Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. So it's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We're going to look at the mysteries of the Bible puzzle. We'll show you what the puzzle pieces are and so on, hopefully through the Bible and the mystery of how all these pieces fit together, how they intertwine, interconnect, and give more light to one another, how they all fit together, and then you back up and you can see the big picture of the Bible. I'm going to start with this, and I'm going to read something that I wrote some time back and put on our website. And it goes like this. In the 1940s and 50s, most churchgoers had committed at least 400 scripture verses to memory. 400. They knew them right off the top of their hat. I don't know if maybe I do know 400. I don't know, but I haven't sat down and counted them, but that's a whole lot.
Yeah, it is.
What do you think, David?
Well, I'd say they spent a lot of time in the Bible, reading it and studying it to be able to memorize scripture verses like that. And maybe that's what really is pointing out to people's lack today, is they're not spending time with God's word like they should.
Well, we're meeting together here. Andy Atwell and David North and I are getting together. We're going to be talking about this mystery of the Bible puzzle. So don't forget your cup of coffee. Let's get all relaxed here. And the reason I say get relaxed when you read the Bible, it's written for a sixth grader, 11-year-old. You can certainly understand it. But the problem is people try to start at calculus first. And they try to wrap around all the hard things. But if you understand the basics first, the other pieces fall into play. Like you don't go to first grade and learn algebra or geometry. You learn addition. You learn it in this order. Addition, then subtraction, multiplication, division. Then you might later on in the third grade get into fractions, decimal points, and so on. I think they're doing smarter things faster nowadays.
Although sometimes people know more about how to use a calculator than they know about how to do those things the old-fashioned way with pencil and paper.
And
kind of interesting.
You young people, if you're listening to this, yes, you do still have to memorize your multiplication tables. You have to memorize those. That's just one of those things. Well, it's like this. Let's go back to this and how you learn. Now, most people view the Bible as this complicated puzzle, and it is on the table, and they look at it, and if it's too much alike, if like you have too much sky or whatever, that's very daunting to be able to look at all those pieces that are all jumbled up on your table and for those all to fit together, you know, what's this thing going to look like when I'm done? But I'm going to go back to this and we'll talk about this puzzle that we're going to look at. At least back in the 40s and 50s, a committed Christian knew 400 scripture verses by heart. But today, the number might be 1 to 5. That the average Christian has memorized. Now, we've gone door to door. We just did a tape on going door to door, the history of Gilbert and Friends, and it really has to do with proclaiming the kingdom of God. So in our standing on a door step, we'll talk to people and we'll say, how many scripture verses do you have memorized? Can you tell me one? And they'll generally say, what's the favorite one that'll come out?
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
And they know that. Now, some people I have met standing on the door said, oh yeah, John 3:16. I said, well, can you say that? They can't even say that. I say it's a rarity when people repeat back to me even one Bible verse. We just met a gentleman today at the motel, a very nice gentleman. He's in his 70s, and he was talking about the 40s and 50s, and what did he say the world was like in America during that time?
Well, he definitely said that the young people had a lot more respect for their elders. He said that people were taught about God and to learn about him and respect him, and they were taught good values about being workers, even at a young age, and not expecting everything to be handed to them. But everybody learned how to work and how to pitch in and do their part, and they shared things together, they shared the load, so to speak, in a family. He really saw that there was a lacking today, looking at how oftentimes families don't teach those things anymore.
And he even said that when he earned money as a little boy, he would bring that money into the family. My mom's family did that. I was born in 1946, but she regretted in the 50s when I started getting a lot of work and started making money. My mother told me she regretted me not learning to bring money into the family. And I'd get part of that, but I had to learn to help bring things into my family. And what do you think kids do today?
Spend all their money on themselves. Or they ask others to pay for it for them.
Let's not pick on this new generation or whatever, but look at the Bible verses, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I would not sin against thee." And look at society then, where we used to take off on our bikes and our parents wouldn't even check on us and see a dinner. I'd be gone all day on my bike. And the safety that young people had in the 40s and 50s. But can you see a correlation going here?
Well, sure. People having a knowledge of the Bible made them think of God's principles, do God's principles in their everyday life. And now that that's diminished, you see things that aren't good.
We will be going on into different areas. We just, as a matter of fact, went into Fresno. We went out 2x2. We've been in Seattle going out 2x2, in Albuquerque 2x2, and going out and proclaiming to people the kingdom of God. But one of the first things we recommend to everybody is to know about the kingdom of God is to read their Bibles. And so where do you start? When we go out door to door and tell people, and some of these people are brand new, they don't even own a Bible, so you make sure they get a Bible, and this is their time alone with God, and there's three things that people need to do. And what are those three things they need to do, Andy?
Well, they need to read their Bible, and they need to fellowship with other people that read their Bible, and they need to pray to God.
So where do you tell these people to start?
Well, I've got an interesting scripture in regards to that, Gilbert. Matthew chapter 13, verse 52, it says here, "And he said to them," and this is Jesus speaking, "Therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old."
So where are you going to start, David?
Well, I would suggest going with the new first, because that's the order that's listed here, which to me, I see that as saying, look at the New Testament first before you try and understand the Old Testament, because the New Testament was the time that Jesus was here. From that time to the present is the New Testament. It's a lot easier message to understand. There are things of the old that relate to it, but there's an easier way to find out about God through Jesus Christ.
Now, how do we know what the New Testament is and the Old Testament? They open up the Bible. What do they look for between the New Testament and the Old Testament? They see the English words Old Testament. And then there's a page actually for that. And there's a page for the New Testament. But I got a big question for you. Who put those pages in there? They're not from the original text. And the book of Psalms is kind of in the middle of the Old Testament, but have you ever read the book of Psalms? Can we really say that that is just Old Testament?
Well, there's a lot of information about the things that have to do with Jesus Christ in the Psalms, if that's what you're talking about.
Now, how about telling a person to read their Psalms? Does that fit in the New Testament. I mean, if you were just looking at this book and you wanted to set people free and to get to know the things that are living, not the Old Testament law, and you're cutting this Bible up, what about the book of Psalms? What do you think about this book of Psalms?
Well, I like it, if that's what you mean.
Do you think a person that's brand new to the Bible, do you think they'd like it too?
A lot of Psalms would be very uplifting for people. There are some areas there. I've just known this by experience talking to some people when David was in great distress and he was dealing with people that were seeking his life, that he cried out to God, and to some people would sound like unfavorable words, but he was crying out for relief.
Uh-huh.
That's the only thing I'd say about that. But most of what's in the Psalms has to do with promises and showing God's victory and deliverance and joy
would
that
you
God
call,
brings.
Would you call the Psalms spiritual?
Oh, absolutely.
Living,
sure.
Alive?
Sure.
You know, the old Bible teachers, the ones that really knew back in this era, the 40s and 50s, when they really taught the Bible and did not teach social studies, they considered the book of Psalms the bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There are some New Testament Bibles, if you get a Bible for the first time, there will be Psalms and the New Testament.
And most yes. times they put New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. They put those three in most of those Bibles they have the New Testament in. Isn't it interesting?
Do you kind of like that idea, Andy? Does that kind of fit?
I do. Well, Proverbs are wisdom for a young person. It says for a young man.
Yeah.
And then Psalms, it talks about how much singing there is to God and how much God likes singing. And he has all kinds of things he talks about himself in there, not just the messages. The words are written very lively, like there's music in them, although you see no notes on the page, but it's like there's music in the words.
Yeah, that's a neat thought. That's something we can get into later on. But you may have somebody representing God coming to your door. God calls the knowledge of him, his son, and his church, as well as a marriage, a great mystery. He calls the marriage a great mystery, a marriage between a man and his wife. This is a great mystery. But the knowledge of Jesus, the knowledge of God the Father, and his church, and that's the Greek word ecclesia, which is the called out group, which can be two people meeting in a home, wherever two or more are gathered in his name, he's in their midst. So let's say anytime there's a gathering, so the knowledge of him, his son Jesus, and any kind of gathering of people in the name of Jesus, and marriage, a great mystery. We're going to go into this a little further, how to unravel and unlock this mystery, and it has a great deal in beginning at the right place. And David brought up exactly the thing I was thinking about. It is the kingdom of heaven is like a man who brings things out of his treasury, things new and old. So the best place to start is in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, there are laws. Commands, 10 commands is found in Deuteronomy and Exodus. I think it's Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5. I think I'm right on that. Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy 5, the 10 commandments. But there's also God's laws. Did you know in the New Testament, there are New Testament laws? So why do we start in the New Testament? Well, one of those laws is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death in the Old Testament. So if you start reading the Old Testament first, you're really reading the wrong law because you're reading about the law of sin and death. But if you start in the New Testament, you'll be reading about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that set us free from this Old Testament law. So when you go back to the old with armed with that, you're not going to be trying to observe the Old Testament law. In that way, you'll be observing it in a new living way. And then there's also the law of liberty. How do you like the name of that law?
Well, I know when I was in the service, I always liked it when they said, it's time to go out on liberty. Does that mean the work day was over and we could go have some fun? So I believe that there is fun to be had walking with God.
Yeah, the kingdom of God isn't eating and drinking; it's righteousness, peace, and fun in the Holy Spirit,
or joy.
Yeah. Joy. The word is charis, joy, but it is fun.
It is.
Once you get into it, it's fun.
And you know, it's interesting because I've been told this more than once by people that maybe don't. I'm not saying they disbelieve in God, but maybe they don't follow Him that closely, and if they see that you are a person reading the Bible or something, they might make a comment once in a while saying, well, you know, you guys don't have much fun, or I get to go home now and have fun, but not you guys, you know. And that's not true. We have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun with the joy of the Lord.
There's a great deal of fun when somebody comes from living a life of death. They're actually separate from God. And when they enter into God's kingdom, it says there's more joy in heaven over one repentant sinner than over 99 righteous.
Well, the thing that's interesting is, like you're saying, Gilbert, you run across people with lots of problems. I mean, we've all had them. You know, we still have some. We still have some. We're not perfect yet. We haven't been translated to go up into heaven yet. But the thing is, oftentimes the people that start off with lots of problems and dysfunction in their life and going in all kinds of different directions. There's confusion, there's despair, and all different things. And then you start introducing them to God and Jesus Christ and the order that God originally intended for men to lead their lives. And pretty soon you see them coming back together and enjoying good things again, like family and being able to eat together in having peace in their house and having joy in their house, and you're laughing with them, you're teasing each other and so forth, but you're doing so with God involved in your life, and that is always an enjoyment when you see that happening. Would you agree, Andy?
When people bring God back into their life, all of a sudden, they start to smile. There's a proverb that says that wisdom brightens a man's face and changes his hard appearance. Now, just the appearance, what about if on the inside of you, you would become soft again and lighthearted? Like when you were a kid, to be lighthearted and everything's not so serious. And that's what God will bring back into your life.
You know, what's interesting is the way you start this Bible puzzle, we're not looking at a complicated puzzle that's made of little pieces. To really put the Bible back correctly, you have to start with bigger pieces. Because if you start with small pieces, you'll be too detailed, oriented, and you won't see the forest for the trees. We want to look at forests. We want to look at the big lake. We don't want to look at molecules in the lake. We don't want to look at the atoms in the molecules in the lake. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it, Andy?
Yes.
Andy calls it pennies.
Pennies. We need quarters.
Well, how about dollar
bills?
We'll really even starting maybe $1 million.
Big dollars.
Get big bucks first. And we're not bringing money into this, but don't be concerned about pennies and lose something that is beyond treasure by looking at all these little details. We're saying this from experience. We remember back to when we were 10 years old in the Lord doing this, 20 years old, 30 years old. Now we're starting to get into details. When we tried to detail at first, we'd lose sight of the big picture, wouldn't we?
Yes.
So we're going to try to help unlock this mystery of the Bible. If you take a Bible in your hand right now, what you're holding in your hand, if you've got a good Bible like New American Standard, one that respects the original languages, it's living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide, to go into your heart and divide between your soul and your spirit. It can discern the thoughts and intents of your heart. All of a sudden you're reading this, you're going like, wow, that's written right to my heart. If you got a Bible in your hand, you are actually holding God's heart in mind. That's what He thinks like. And so if you want to start opening those pages, and the New Testament is the best, like David said, you will start seeing how God thinks. We have to start at the right place, though.
Well, the disciples even asked Jesus, show us the Father, and his response to them, have I been amongst you so long, and do you not yet know me? If you know Jesus, you know God the Father.
Because he's known as the?
He's the Son of God.
He's just like the dad.
Yes.
And I can only do what my Father says.
Yeah.
So.
And everything I do in the Father's name. Did you ever pick that up? I picked that up this year. I'm going, well, we do everything in Jesus' name. He did everything in the Father's name. Now, how great is that? There's no greater. To do everything he did, he called on the greatest name in the universe, the greatest name anywhere. He did it all in the Father's name because he's in the Father and the Father's in him. Please take your time and visit these different drawings and so on we have. We've tried to put these things on our website. You can go to the website at Gilbert and Friends. Come Let Us Reason Together. We're usually right at the top on Google search. We're usually the first one people look at when they see Gilbert and Friends. And you can copy any of these drawings off. And we tried to make it as close to how we fellowship in homes, where we'd take a board and we would draw these little drawings on the board. And David's done it, and they do it all the time. They still do it. We draw these little drawings on the board, and we try to depict, like if you say, well, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. But take your time with those, and you can listen to this podcast. It's going to be on the radio too. I'm suggesting to you that are in your cars, at work, and at home that are listening to this radio show, go get copies of these. If you don't have internet, you don't have a computer, ask your friend to print these off. Get yourself a copy and go look at these, and then play this podcast again and look at the pictures that we have drawn. We're trying to depict as best as humanly possible and trying to be accurate these different subjects that we're going to be talking about. So go onto the website. On the website, this is number one, the Bible Mysteries, and also number two, the Bible Puzzle. We're going to be talking about that, and then we'll go on to other parts, how these puzzle pieces fit together. This method of studying was taught to us by a man that came from the Northwest, and he was a teacher in a Bible college. He showed us that if we look at the Bible like a picture, a full-blown picture of a lake, trees around the lake, a cabin, and there were some other details. Remember those? It was a garbage can and a bear getting into the garbage can. He went into all this detail, yeah, you know, about the mountains behind the lake. And while he's saying, we're actually putting that in our heads. And the Bible is not one scripture. What about the Bible? What's truth?
The sum of your word is truth, is what he says. So you have to add the Bible together. And if you just take one verse, you only get one thought of God. And believe me, God has more than one thought. From a big picture standpoint, you have to add his word together. That's a big piece of a picture. You have to add his words together.
And he knows everything, and he knows everything about everything. So what better place to go? And we're going to continue on in this same vein, and we'll see you again next time.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, Post Office Box 66149, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87193. That's Box 66149, Albuquerque, 87193. Or call us at 480-205-3346. That's 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.